This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If Donna Adelson ever misunderstood the term money laundering, she may have taken it a bit too literally. According to testimony, she allegedly washed stacks of cash, like physically laundered them, because they came back moldy and wet and stapled together. It sounds ridiculous because it is. But ridiculous in this case doesn't mean irrelevant. This is where the case against Donna crosses from calculated into chaotic. Because while signing fraudulent paychecks is one kind of red flag, putting bundles of wet money through spin cycle is another entirely. It screams panic. It screams, I know something bad went down and I'm not quite sure how to handle it. In a case where prosecutors are trying to prove consciousness of guilt, behavior like this lands like a hammer. But that's not all. But wait, there's more. Add to that her attempted flight to Vietnam, a non-extradition country, and suddenly you're looking at a pattern. She didn't just sign checks and stay quiet. She reached. She moved. She tried to run. Those are not moves of someone confident in their innocence. These are the moves of someone who sees the walls closing in and decides it's time to bolt. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, joining us again to continue the conversation. And I've got questions to ask. What does this kind of bizarre panic behavior tell you about the defendant's mindset and how much weight the jurors give to actions that seem absurd on their face but fit perfectly into the larger narrative of guilt here? Let's get into it.
You know, it's certainly problematic, and it allegedly came from the mouth of Donna Adelson's son, Charlie, who's already been convicted for being a part of murdering Dan Markell. This is another direct connection related to the financial piece of this murder for hire plot that implicates Donna Adelson. And then you look at the attempt to go to Vietnam, which is a non-extraditable country. There aren't a ton of those. That's one of them. All of those things begin to look like, wow, she saw the writing on the wall and she was trying to get out of Dodge and they stopped her at the last minute.
You've been doing this for a while. Have you ever had a client or heard of anyone, any colleagues, where someone has literally put money in the washing machine to launder it?
That part is very peculiar. I've literally never heard of that happening. You know, what was the purpose of that? To try to remove fingerprints, to try to remove DNA? It just seems like amateur hour a little bit. If you're talking about sophisticated criminals, they're probably going to chuckle if someone suggested that. And so I thought that was kind of a bizarre piece of evidence. But suspicious, clearly. Like, why would anyone do that?
That's what makes me wonder. And I almost wonder if that is could be used as a piece of evidence to show that there wasn't greater conspiracy with some members of the family, just because of how ludicrous it is. Like, was this Charlie and Donna, and they're doing this together, the two of them, they're going to protect Wendy. They're going to do what they feel is right. They're so enmeshed and connected. I mean, if you just think of it, if Donna had said to anyone, even to Charlie. Like, I'm wondering if she just, I'll get the money laundered and then I'll bring it to you, Charlie. That seems to be how it went. Even if she said it to Charlie and said, I'm going to put it in the washing machine, I would think even Charlie would have said, "What? That's not what that is." But it doesn't seem she said a word to anybody, just went about and did it, which makes you wonder just how isolated was Donna in her carrying out of all of this, if in fact she's guilty of these things, that all this happened really in a vacuum. Didn't ask Wendy, didn't ask Harvey, didn't ask Charlie, just doing her own beeline to the washer.
You know, the jury is going to draw upon their own common sense and their own experience in interpreting what these alleged acts mean. And so, you know, I've given money to family and friends and whatever, and zero times have I ever put that money in the washing machine or underwater or anything like that. So the jury's going to look at that and say, hey, did Donna Adelson just take like the money laundering term literally and idiotically and put this money underwater? And if so, the only reason a person would do that would be to kind of cover up some misdeeds.
Yeah. I mean, or you watched too much CSI or something and didn't pay much attention and really thought, oh, well, I launder money. I think I know how to do that. And you've had this in your mind and let's go launder the money. I mean, could the defense get any traction with the idea that Charlie just invoked his mom's name in this, maybe even to protect himself rather than Donna actually handling the money?
100%. And I think the defense absolutely needs to go that route. Because look, we have some primary actors in this case who have already been convicted. We have the gunman. We have the two gang members who carried out the hit. We have the intermediary, Kate, who has already been convicted. Charlie, already been convicted. That is the direction to which Don Adelson's counsel needs to point and say, hey, look, these are the folks who are directly involved, and whatever they said about their mom, about Charlie's mom, was just to sort of get some heat off of them when clearly a jury has already said they've done it.
Damp molding bills are a strange detail, no matter any way you slice it, and including stapled together. Who staples money together, especially washed money? Let's get the stapler out. That's going to stick with jurors. But is it going to stick with them because it's so absurd? And one would think this couldn't possibly have happened. It sounds like Charlie's making up a story to get his mom involved and take the blame off of him. Or does it just show, along with the other things that Donna has allegedly proposed for solutions to the Danny problem, as being pretty much right in line with other ridiculous ideas that don't seem to have a second thought to them?
You know, in fairness, in watching the Charlie Adelson trial in which he was convicted, he's not the most smooth operator either. He's not a sophisticated criminal. He made a ton of missteps. He incriminated himself multiple times during the investigation and on the stand. And so can an argument be made that this is just Charlie Adelson, you know, stepping in it yet again in some haphazard attempt to try and avoid criminal liability, and to do so, he had to implicate somebody else? Certainly that argument can be made, and perhaps a jury might be receptive to it just based on how ridiculous this claim is regarding this washed and wet and moldy money.
Yeah, and in the Vietnam trip, one way. No extradition, her and Harvey getting stopped at the airport. How do you think the jury's going to read that kind of move? Is she going to be able, or are they going to be able to sell it off as, well, we needed some time away. Our son was just convicted of murder. Our son, this has been a horrible family, just a nightmare. And we need some time away. I could see needing that. If this is what's going on in your family, if you had nothing to do with it, I'd be wanting to get out of Dodge too. And just, I need some time. I need some space to think about life. One could make that argument. One may want a return ticket. One may think this may look a little bit suspicious should you be stopped. Again, I don't know that there was the thinking process going on here that you might be stopped. And how will this look? There wasn't usually a plan B in a lot of these cases. It just seems to be a lot of instinct, a lot of reaction, and not a lot of planning for the possible turnoffs that may occur in this case.
Oh, totally. And I think that that's one way the defense might style it. They might say, hey, look, Donna Adelson's not a criminal. She's not this mastermind who's making these brilliant moves during the pendency of this whole saga. She wants to get out of town due to this family tragedy. You know, perhaps they even argue that, hey, you know, maybe she saw some heat coming her way and she was scared, and she, and an innocent person who thinks they're going to be railroaded for something they didn't do, that would be an equally plausible motivation to leave that area. And that's an innocent motivation. And so I think that the defense has some outs in terms of how they play it in closing.
We're not hearing a whole hell of a lot on cross from the defense of Donna Adelson where these specific arguments that we're theorizing could be made. I mean, yes, they still have their turn to go. Maybe they're just saving it all for them. But are they missing opportunities? Is Donna Adelson's doppelganger attorney really missing some opportunities here to shout of Donna's innocence?
You know, I think that there were some missed opportunities. Yes. I think defense has to be cautious. You got to be careful because sometimes less is more. Keep in mind, mm-hmm. prosecution has the burden. And so you don't want to go down some road that turns out to have a landmine and blows up in your face. And now your case is worse. And so perhaps they're just being very cautious. I think overly cautious. I think they've got to come with it a little more in terms of presenting their theory, presenting their theme. You don't want to overdo it either.
That's true. I mean, we've seen a lot of cases recently where the prosecution goes and a lot of folks think they nailed it. It's going to be going down. And then they don't present any sort of defense. And guess who wins? The defense. I'm wondering if that's, I don't know that it's going to play out that way here, but I'm wondering if that's how they're thinking right now.
Very well could be, but usually in those cases, my appraisal is that defense scores points. They score points in cross-examination. They score points in the prosecution's case in chief. You know, you don't want to do any damage, but you got to go on the offensive a little bit out there. And mm-hmm. and in my review, they haven't scored a ton of points yet in terms of bringing up stuff they could have brought up, especially with that intermediary gate. There's a lot that they could have done to make her look horrible, like this murder for hire plot intermediary. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they held back a bit on it.
There is something unforgettable about the large, damp, stapled together bills allegedly being air dried in the family home after a murder. It's a kind of detail that lingers, not just because it's insane, because it's oddly specific. It sounds like the punchline to a joke, but in this courtroom, it's a red flag waving in neon. Sure, you could try to argue that Donna was just eccentric, maybe a little unhinged. Maybe she genuinely thought laundering meant, well, doing the laundry. When you pile that on top of the secret payments, the flight attempt, the mountains of circumstantial evidence, it doesn't look innocent. It looks reactive. It looks desperate. It looks like someone trying to scrub away guilt one soggy dollar at a time. And jurors don't need a PhD in forensic finance to get the message, even though they do have a person in forensic science giving them answers. They just need common sense, because who throws bundles of cash into the washing machine with Tide Pods unless they're trying to erase something they can't explain? Or can they? Coming up, we're going to tackle the bigger question. Was Donna Adelson the mastermind behind this entire operation, or just a controlling mother caught in the gravitational pull of her own family's dysfunction? Either way, the stakes are about to get skyrocketed. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss that. Wherever you are listening or watching us, you can search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on any podcast platform or on YouTube to find us there. And join in the conversation, especially on YouTube in those comments. We love to see them and hear your voice. So please do that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.